This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
According to the recently published World Report 2017 by Human Rights Watch, the rise of populist leaders around the world such as Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin poses a dangerous threat to human rights. The report summarizes key human rights issues in more than 90 countries and territories worldwide throughout 2016. Phil Robertson is the Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch Asia Division. He explains how the report serves as a check and balance for governments in terms of human rights protection.
It's a report that we feel puts some of the best research forward that we do every year in a very condensed version, and we're very proud of the report. The things that are going into this report are various different issues or cases that we're working on in a given country. What we see is more often the reaction of different governments to our work because it's a global report. For instance, in past years, of course, Singapore government always likes to respond to us point by point. And in doing so, you know, we make them review their rights record and hopefully understand that, you know, something wrong is taking place that they have to fix. But the exposure to these issues and to these concerns, I think, is good for the public and good for the government officials who read this and have to understand what's taking place from a human rights perspective.
He defines what is meant by a populist leader and how are they exposed to abuse of power.
The populist leaders that we're looking at now, of course, are people like Donald Trump, who is saying that he speaks for the majority, that he is the person who knows what the American people want, and in this instance, uses those kind of justifications to say that only he knows and that if people just follow what he says, then everything will be fine. And what is happening in these populist leaders is that they're essentially overthrowing systems of rule of law. They're overthrowing international human rights protections. And our major concern, of course, is that since the passage of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights in 1948, there's been continuing progress in building up a system of international human rights law in the UN. And these kind of populist leaders who don't follow the rules, who say we're going to make the rules because we have the support of people, are a threat to that system. It's important to remember that the United Nations was created in part as a reaction to populist leaders that started World War II. So when we look at populist leaders in Japan, when we look at the populist leader in Germany, the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler, when we look at the populist leader in Italy, Mussolini, these were people who overthrew systems of governance and became, as populists, the leaders of mass movements that essentially were anti-human rights.
Phil Robertson highlights that the management of migrant workers is one of the major human rights concerns among the countries in Southeast Asia.
I think, though, one of the hidden areas of human rights abuses that we're seeing in the region is the sort of rights abuses that occur against migrants and migrant workers. As you know, ASEAN doesn't yet have any sort of protection mechanism for migrant workers. You know, they're protecting foreign investment when it goes across borders. But when people go across borders to seek work, even through government-to-government programs, they really are not getting any sort of effective protection. And that's quite shameful. And that's a whole area of sort of the underground economy where abuses are rife against these vulnerable migrants. And we hear very little about it.
Besides that, the refugee crisis is also one of the crucial human rights issues in the region.
You know, they've created a situation where now, as they're looking at what to do with this group of asylum seekers, they can't find a way out. It's because they short-circuited the rules. I mean, the rules are very clear. If you make an asylum claim and you go through a fair refugee status determination process, if you're found to be a refugee, you're protected. If you're not found to be a refugee, if you're in fact an economic migrant, then you really have no rights and you have only the right to return to your country. You're not going to be protected as a refugee if it's a fair screening process that is, for instance, overseen by the UN Refugee Agency. So these governments are boxing themselves in by creating systems that deny people the right to seek asylum, but then are not accepted by the wider international community. And what we see here in Southeast Asia, of course, is a continued denial by many governments of even the existence of refugees. In the laws, in many countries like Thailand, like Malaysia, this refugee status is something that takes place between the refugee and an international agency like UNHCR. It's not something the government is involved in. In fact, in some cases, the government doesn't even have relevant laws in their provisions in their immigration law to provide refugee status.
He praises the Malaysian government by taking the first step to assume the leadership role in solving the Rohingya refugee crisis.
Well, I think on one hand, it's very welcome that one of the ASEAN countries is sort of breaking the ice, prepared to criticize another country in ASEAN in a very sort of full-throated way that says, you know, look, there is a human rights problem in your country, and it is affecting the rest of us because these people will come out of Rakhine State as they have done in the past and therefore protect their rights. So for Malaysia sort of pushing on that no interference rule of ASEAN, I think it's a good thing that someone's doing it. And I'm glad that the government has been very determined to do that. And now, of course, a lot of people, including the Burma government, have been pushing back on Malaysia and saying that Prime Minister Najib is primarily doing this for political reasons, trying to curry favor with the rural Malay voters who sort of very Islamic and feel strongly about the Rohingya. But ultimately, the result in terms of demanding answers from Burma and forcing the Burmese government to hold that meeting in Rangoon, where all the ASEAN foreign ministers were there demanding answers from Aung San Suu Kyi, that's a very good thing.
However, Phil Robertson stresses some of the key issues that remains apparent in ASEAN countries.
There's a couple key issues that we're seeing around the region. One is that we're seeing freedom of expression at risk. Countries like Thailand, there's now a newly amended Computer Crimes Act that's going to be very restrictive on online speech. In Burma, we're seeing the use of a specific provision of the Telecommunications Act being used very aggressively to bring defamation charges against people. You know, Malaysia, this ongoing sort of crackdown on free expression using the Sedition Act has really become very, very widespread. We're also seeing freedom of association at risk, where increasingly NGOs are coming under attack. In Cambodia, we've got the law on NGOs that basically says that if you're not registered with the government, you cannot exist legally. We're seeing increased attacks on NGOs and civil society in Malaysia, in Thailand, and Myanmar. And then also, I would say, freedom of peaceful public assemblies under attack. And these are sort of three core civil and political rights. When a person can't speak their mind, when they can't join a group with another person, or when they can't hold a public protest in places like, for instance, Malaysia, Thailand, Myanmar, Vietnam, Laos, what you're looking at is a situation where civil society feels marginalized and controlled and increasingly desperate.
He explains the reason why it is important to protect these human rights.
These are core civil and political rights. They're rights that enable the exercise of other rights. So, for instance, to assert your right in another area, you have to be able to speak out. You have to have freedom of expression. You know, you have to have the ability to organize a group of people who feel the same way about something. You have to be able to have a way to express your unhappiness, perhaps through a public protest. So these are enabling rights. These are rights that are critical for the enjoyment of other rights. And when you take these core civil and political rights away, it is a message from the governments basically to the people saying, sit down, shut up, we're in charge, don't say anything that would contradict what we are doing. And, you know, that is not democracy, that's dictatorship.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.